So let's move from the technological factors to the political factors. Now the political system of a country, basically all what you can say the government or how what is the political situation in the country will definitely impact international business. Because the government is the one who decides whether they want to, you know, have a closed economy or they want to have a liberal economy. They want more control, so what they want to give freedom to people for factors of production and so on. So basically the government is the one who will decide whether they want to protect, promote, support, facilitates, regulates, control, monitor and so on. Now in the world economy there are basically two types of political systems that exist. One is the democratic system or the democracy which we know. Another one is a dictator type of system which is also known as totalitarianism. Now let's see each one in detail. Now talking about democracy, what we experience in India, if you are staying in India. Now in simple words, democracy is a political mechanism guided by supreme powers that are voted by the people. So it is basically the government for the people, of the people and by the people. That's the rule which we follow. So the people will elect people and who will be in the government and they will control again the whole economy. Now they maintain the high stability of business environment mainly through laws that protect individual rights. That is how they control. Now more than half of the governments in the world are basically of a democratic or a democracies basically. Now the chart which you see in front of you basically shows that by the end of 2017, 96 out of 167 countries are following a democracy as a, or have a democratic government. So if you see the graphs, the autocratic governments systems were going up and then again there's a sharp decline in the autocratic system. Even the mixed economy if you find have gone down and of other also are moving lower than the democratic type of government. And the government and the democratic ones are steadily and slowly moving up. So if you see, the world at large follows basically democracies. So we are talking about democracy. Now we talk about totalitarianism. Now in this, the government attempts to basically maintain total control over society. All authority is in the hand of the state. The government controls everything. All controls of public, private life is all governmental. Now in this kind of, there are basically some types which we can study on, which is one of the type is theocratic. When you will find Iran and Afghanistan in this kind of form. Normally it is a mixture of politics as well as religious sentiments. So when all this is mixed together, you find a theocratic type of government. Then there is communist or dictatorship, which you find in North Korea or even in Pakistan for that extent. Then you have a tribal type of government in which normally a particular tribe or a particular segment is given more favor than the others because the representative is normally from that particular tribe. The communist examples we'll find in Kenya, Uganda and Zimbabwe. And there is a right-wing totalitarianism which you find in China. Now if you look into that right-wing sort of arrangement, the freedom for market forces through private ownership is by the government. So basically the government tries to control most of the ownership. It will not allow you any political freedom because the government wants to take control of everything. Now it appears to be free and open society, but actually it is performing of a totalitarian sort of society. Example we find in China. Now you'll also notice there is also a closing case, one of the closing case which is there at the end of the chapter, which talks about how China has blocked most of the US tech giants and they have not allowed them into the country to do any business. So how China has blocked Google, Facebook and so many other websites which are basically US born or US origin, and they have created a separate web for them which do not comprise of all these segments. So this is how the government will try to control. Now, moving from this political, we also have a something which is a political indicator or a political risk assessment indicator or a PRI. Now, what is a PRI basically? Now, PRI can be derived basically from two sources. One is your internal source and second is an external source. Now, when you talk about internal source, you will have your own representatives, you will have your own branches, or you will have your own people placed in various countries. Now, that is the basically from where you will get the information. So basically internal resources can be used, or you can use external resources, which is basically relevant data which you can get from consultants and experts basically familiar to the local government which exists in that particular country. So these are the two sources which you can get the data, get a lot of data which can help you in getting the PRI. Now PRI basically is an overall measure of risk for a given country, which is calculated normally using 17 risk components from the PRS method. Now some of the methods are, some of the points or indicators are turmoils, financial transfers, direct investments and export markets. Now all these indicators put together have a scale of 0 to 100. The more the number, the greater is the political stability it ensures. Now in your book, if you see, there's a big table which runs into two or three pages which talks about the various countries and the PRI index. There is a measure given in your book which talks about the base indexes and how other countries have performed overall. So please do have a look. Now here we are discussing only the top countries which are in various regions. Now the PRI for selected countries. Now Canada is topping in where North and Central American region is concerned. Where the South American region is concerned, we have Chile on the top. Norway tops in the Western European region. Whereas in the Central and South Asian region, you have India and Azerbaijan who are the top. Definitely, we also would like to know where Pakistan stands. Pakistan stands at the bottom. Now, also in the Eastern European region, you find Czech Republic who's on the top, and our friend Russia is at the bottom. Also, where the UAE is on the top in the Middle East and the North African region, and the Syria, and whereas Syria is right in the bottom. Botswana is on top of the Sub-Saharan region, whereas Zimbabwe stands at the bottom. Singapore and Hong Kong are the top of the list of the East Asia Pacific region, where Myanmar is at the bottom. Now, if you see most of the countries who are at the bottom, you will find most of the countries are not politically stable. Whether you take the example of our friend Pakistan, or you take Syria, or you take Zimbabwe for that example, or you take Myanmar, you will find there is no political freedom given in those particular countries. Now moving from the political factors, now we come to the legal factors. Now what is the legal factors? Now legal factor basically is in the country, what is the law framework which exists in the particular country. Now traditionally there can be only three type of forms. So like one is the civil law, which is the most widespread law which you find all around the world. Now normally you'll find in the European regions. The common law, which is currently in practice in countries like Ireland, India, Pakistan, UK. Now this is based basically on some guidelines or rules or laws which are there which are there passed by the government. Also apart from that, there will be various case studies and case laws which have been passed in the past. And this kind of case laws will now stand as a guidance for future cases. Then there are also religious or Sharia law, which is very common in Saudi Arabia, Iran. There's also other forms like halakha, which is followed in Judaism, though it is not a full-fledged law in Israel, the halakha. But if two Jews decide that they want to solve a case using this halakha method, then they are free to do that. Now, for any international business in the context of legal factors, following are the, some of the reasons which are very, very important. Now, what are the security of the international property rights? The intellectual property rights security is very, very important, because that also that adds as a legal factor. Product safety and responsibility, environmental competitiveness, corruption and bribery, very important, because what is the level of corruption, because these are the factors which will also derive or drive the legal framework. Business contracts, how are business contracts signed, labor laws and environmental laws, and of course shipping of goods and services. Now, when you talk about international trade, international business, there would be some sort of trade disputes which will arise between either two countries or between two companies. Now, what is the international dispute mechanism is also a very important factor where we talk about the legal factors. Now, the government related disputes normally can be solved in the World Court at Hague and the International Court of Justice, the UN judicial apex institutions. Now, the most common used two means are for zero resolving international disputes are basically conciliations, arbitrations, and litigations. Now, conciliations basically are basically mediation of a third party. So, if a third party is involved, it is included to decide about a particular dispute, then you are talking about conciliations. Then if a dispute doesn't get solved through conciliation or through mediation by a third party also, then we can move on to the next level, which is arbitration. Now, you know, arbitration is basically a form of an alternate dispute resolution. So basically in this, there is another body who acts as a mediator or an in-between party, which will help you in settlement of disputes basically. So basically these are independent referees who hear and adjudicate the cases. So common example which you find is ICC, International Chamber of Commerce, so which will help you in solving cases through the arbitration method. Other than the arbitration, if your dispute is still not getting resolved, you can go for litigation. Basically this is your normal court trials and procedures in which there is a judge appointed and you are going to present your cases. Now, normally this kind of method is very lengthy, it can delay, it can go on for years, it is very the cost is very high. Also, there is a bad publicity for the company, because there also would be media trials which will be taking place when this kind of things take place. There could be a fear of unfair discrimination which can happen. So all these things will be a disadvantage basically for a litigation. Now, moving from legal factors, we will talk about cultural factors. Now, what are these cultural factors? Now, cultural factors can be described as that complex whole which includes knowledge, beliefs, arts, morals and laws, customs and other capabilities and habits acquired by a man as a member of a society. So, we all know that internationally we have different, we follow different cultures, we have a different belief system, we have a different morals, different laws, we follow different customs and so on. So that's why understanding cultural factors is also very important. It is essential to know the way business is done by Indians, Germans, Americans, Japanese, Koreans, Chinese, because everybody will have a different system or a way to do business. Everybody will not follow the same pattern, same procedures what they do. Although there would be some similarities, but there would be a lot amount of differences. Now, a cultural system also can be described as basically traditions and values, value system, myths and symbols that are commonly given in a society. Now, as we grow up, we acquire a lot of these values which are there, available right from our childhood, from the school levels, where we stay, friend circles and so on. The given society has a multiple cultural framework. Now in India also, if you know, we have so many different states, and most of the states will have a different cultural framework, a different altogether different cultural system or different traditional systems, so on. Some of the elements of culture are languages, because if you see, a classic example would be India again, where you have so many languages in India. Religions, again, where we have so many religions are followed all throughout the country. A different value system, because every individual, every religion, every person staying in different locations will have a different value system, different attitudes, differentiation in education, and differentiation in aesthetics. Now, talking about the language factor, now if you see, though Chinese is a second widely spoken language, English continues to dominate as a corporate language. Now, if you see this is based on the percentage of people speaking those languages in the world. So, English we have on top, then we have Chinese, Hindi, Spanish, Arabic, and so on. Then we have religious factors. Now, if you see this chart which is in front of you, you'll find there are a lot of, if you see the various coding which is done, the blue part which you see, which is talking about Christians which are located in various states, the Buddhism 7.2, which you find largely located in some part of India and some part over here in China and in the Far East, the Muslim population which is dominated in the Gulf and other region over here. Then we also have atheists which are there, which do exist. So accordingly, religion basically, what is religion for you? Religion basically is a set of beliefs and practices which is followed basically by a denomination of people or a large amount of people commonly. So this is basically what religion is. Now, according to the World Economic Survey, Economic Forum, that's what we just discussed in the previous slide, is Christianity dominated in America, Europe, and the southern part of half of Africa. Islam, which is in green, which is followed by a lot of countries in North Africa and the Middle East and Indonesia. And a huge chunk of block, which is Hinduism, which is around 13.8%, which is followed in India. Also Buddhism, light orange, which is followed in Southeast Asia and Japan. China, also you'll find a lot of people who are atheist. Also, there are a lot of people who have other worships. And in America, mostly you'll find Christians. Now, moving from religion, we have values and attitudes. Now, values, basically positive or negative tendencies and feelings, basically. A value system is basically which is acquired by an individual right from his birth, when he's in the house with his parents, with his grandparents, then in the school, then in the society that he lives, in the colleges that he goes. So as and when he grows up, he acquires a lot of values and attitudes, and this basically define a particular person. Now, Indian culture, as we already discussed, is also known for the diversity which it has. Because we have diversity right from the north to the south, or if you go from the east to the west, you will find there is a huge amount of diversity, including people, their clothing, their food habits, even the festivals that they celebrate, everything changes. So Indian culture basically says that it is important to understand each other and help, whether it is a joyous occasion or a moment of grief. Now, similar way, you will find lot of belief system which is existing in various parts of the country. And now when you talk about the world, the system will keep on changing. So basically in Indian culture, we talk about helping people, whether it is our being part of our neighbors or anybody around us, whether it is a joyous occasion or whether it is a moment of grief. Now, continuing to in the values and attitudes, we find that during the COVID-19 pandemic, India has stepped forward in these efforts to provide vaccines to the world. A lot of vaccines were exported to various countries, because India is also one of the largest manufacturer of vaccines, and it has two different vaccines which have been manufactured in India. One is the Covaxin, and another one is the Covishield, which India manufactures. So that all these efforts have also been recognized by the WHO chief in praising the Indian government for supporting the whole movement of the vaccine equity. So this is where the value system changes. Also, talking about education as another factor, it impacts international business definitely. Now, education will definitely impact because you know that how important education is in defining any particular culture or country. Now, we all know that USA is known for the quality education that it provides. Now, even India is known historically for providing the best of education. Over the period, education has slightly degraded. It is increasing. Some of the things, new things which have been coming up in the education system, some of the new innovations have actually brought up the education level. So the education and training of a country's workforce is a major factor in determining how well the country's economy is going to do. Then we come to aesthetics, which is related to your cultural linking or taste. Now in many many countries you will find lot of variation in their clothing and other aspects. Like for example, most of the Asian countries will find white color as a mourning color, but in the Western countries you will find black as a mourning color. So green color associated with Islam is they treat green color as one of the most important colors for Islam, whereas any environmentalist also you will find that they prefer to have green as a color. So every country, every religion also will, even the religion part will also come over here. And talking about different countries, every country will have a different aesthetic sense. Finally, the closing case. This is in continuation with the point that we discussed about the the values and attitudes that we are talking about. Now in this case, basically it talks about how the WHO chief has praised the Indian efforts in basically vaccine equity, in supporting various countries in providing vaccines. Please do read this case study. So what we understand is from this topic is international trade, you have to understand so many different factors, whether it is a political system or whether it is the cultural system, whether it is environment that is provided, whether it is even your technology that is provided. Now all these factors put together only will define, and we will be able to understand international business or international trade and take calculative decisions in a better way. Thank you.